We are up to Nun Ches, which is page 134. Excuse me? Mashahaya, the bottom line. Good. Mashahaya mi bayse eshchina. The Kuzari here goes into a discussion of Tzaras. How exactly in the flow this discussion comes in is not so clear. This whole Maimer talked about the uniqueness of the Jewish people. And Tzaras is unique to Klal Yisrael. There's no Din Mitzayra for a non-Jew. And perhaps that's how it comes in. One of the Mefarshim suggests that it talks about the uniqueness of Klal Yisrael being able to withstand such a thing as Tzaras. But anyway, whatever it is, what the Kuzari is going to say in these next few pages has become a fundamental idea in Parshas Metzaira, Sazria Metzaira, in the idea of Tzaras and Tumah in general. It's one of the more famous ideas, which will come soon. We're not there yet, but in Ois Samach, which we'll get to soon.
Was Metzaras only for Lashon Hara?
No. Tzaras was also for Lashon Hara, but it wasn't only for Lashon Hara. It was a punishment that could come for various different things.
How could
we
you
find
tshuva?
What?
How did you do tshuva if you didn't know what it was for?
I guess a person should just do across the board tshuva if he doesn't know what it's for. It's the same thing with any punishment. A person doesn't know, but certainly Lashon Hara we find by Moshe and Miriam.
Right.
It was for that. We find by Uzziyahu Hamelach he became a Metzora. Nothing to do with Lashon Hara. Had to do with usurping the Kuna Gedaila. So, it's not unique. But he says here, Mashahoy Mimoisi Ashkinha, Shira Hamat Me'atmin Havainois Li'itam Bikirais Ubabagadim. Sometimes people did Aveiras, even Me'atmin Havainois, even a relatively minor Aveira, and it would come out as a tzaras in walls of a home or in the clothing. Kashir Bohen Yeyira Begufim. And if a person continued to sin, it will come out on the body. On different levels of severity, the Gemara says HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't start punishing with the body, he starts with other things. And so too with Tzaras. And the Kayanim were appointed the wisdom of Tzaras. Lahakir ma mimena Eloki, umitzape by shvuayim kashatzofu b'miriam. And to understand the godliness of Tzaras, and to examine it 1 week and a second week as they waited by Miriam. Umami menu mizgi. Sometimes, a discoloration of the skin is a mystical thing. And sometimes mizgi, sometimes it's a natural disease. So the kohen were charged with recognizing. Misyashuv abilti misyashuv, types that require somebody to sit locked up for a week, and those that don't. He chachma mufla, hisirah of haber esparach, but mashamar he shomer b'negat tzaras lushma boid lasais chashi yareschem akayin v'levim. There's a tremendous amount of wisdom in recognizing tzaras, as opposed to other diseases which could cause a discoloration. Now, this which he says that it's tzaras is a high darga. There is a sefer called Bechar Shar from the Tvur Shar, one of the earliest Dechrayim, on his famous sefer is on the laws of Shchita and Treifus. But in the back, they printed some of his writings survived on other topics. And he writes about Tzaras on the pasuk Loilam Yubegedecha Levanim. The pasuk says your clothing should always be white, and the Gemara says an expression that the Tamid Chamim Chutzlars in Bavel wear colored clothing, as opposed to Eretz Yisrael where they wear white clothing. So what's the big difference if they wear white clothing or colored clothing? So he explains because Tzaras is a wonderful thing. Tzaras was a punishment that came to Bali Madrega for the most part. Great people. We find it by Moshe and Miriam. And imagine the blessing. A person says Lashon Hara once, zap, he gets Tzaras. Like he gets a warning from heaven, not going to do it again. You know, I'll do tshuva, I get it, gets an immediate punishment. So he says, Tzaras applies to white clothing, and therefore the idea of tzaras is a higher daraga of a person, a higher level of a person. We find tzaras by Moshe Miriam and the King Uzziyahu, Azar Yahu is the same name. Now, where else do we find tzaras? We have Gehazi and his three children who had tzaras. I believe the Arsamea says, yes, Akasha, why were they outside of, the Haftarah tells you that they were outside of Shomron.
Right.
Outside, why were they outside of the city? Shomron is not Arichaim Bimais. Yeshua, it was built by Achav. Achav built the city. It didn't exist in the time of Yeshua. So yes, why were they outside of the city? So he says that tzaras was not the tzaras of halachic tzaras. It was a leprosy. It was a different disease. And it wasn't that tzaras. That's what it, I think there's some. What? It came miraculously as a punishment, yeah. But, at any rate, this is what he says. So, nun tes, again, the Kuzari, as he says throughout the book, hayesh etzlecha b'zah devar maspikum u'mekarvin oisam l'seichel. Do you have any logical explanation for tzaras? Omer Achaver, Kvar Amarti Lach, Shein Erech Bein Sichleinu Bein Inyan Alaki. We said many times in this book that we can't understand the reasons, God's reasons for doing mitzvahs or different aveiris. We always try to give a reason anyway. V'roi, Shlein Nitrech Levakesh Allah, Eila HaGadayles V'adayim L'zeh. Really, it's not appropriate for us to try to figure out the reasons, Allah say lahagdas, the reason, the logic of it, avol, but I'll do it anyway. Right? He says, we don't really know the reason. But, on the aymer, achar bakoshis ha-mechila, but bilti she-egza shu-kein. If I ask your mechila, I don't know, your mechila, God's mechila, and I don't, bilti she-egza shu-kein, I can't swear on this, but efshir. Now, what he's about to say, is a staple of Sifrei Machshava, Chassidisha, is something you'll find quoted from the Kuzari, Maimir Bey's Aysamach, as a Yisayin in Dinei Tuma. I know Rav Shor and Dar Gadal Yo has a piece on this, the Shem Yishmuel has a piece. There are others across the board that attribute the following idea to Tuma. Let's read the words and I'll explain. Efshar shetia tzaras, and not only tzaras, hazibais, tumas zava, tuluya betumas meis. It's dependent or it's connected to tumas meis. Ki amaves hu hahefsir hagadol. The worst, most damaging thing in this world is death. Why is that? Because death closes the door on a person. A person can do tshuva until he dies. Once he dies, it's too late to do tshuva. I had seen once a reason. It says that when the tzibur has to be punished, HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes the tzaddikim. Why the tzaddikim? Why not the Rishayim? It's because Rishayim, if they're supposed to live, taking them early might cheat them out of tshuva going to Olam Haba. Tzaddikim, so they're already going to Olam Haba. So it's not the same hefsid. So at any rate, he's saying is, death is the worst thing, hefsed ha-gadol, the most damaging thing in the world. Va'aver ha-mitzayra hu kimeis. The tzaras aver is kimeis, or some have a print, daima labasar ha-meis, there are a few differences in printing for those who have the other. Va'azera ha-nifsad kein. The same thing if somebody wastes zera. V'mnei shi ba'al ruach tibi muchan li'ais tipa. Zera, something that could be a living creature, shi yamimenu enayish. Now, let me explain this, and then we'll read exactly how he says. The idea he says is that all tuma is related to death. Tumas meis is davi avayis ha-tuma. Everything else is somehow related to death. Zav, zava, nida, a woman had the potential to become pregnant during the month. When she doesn't become pregnant, she has dam nida. So it's also a sign of a of diminishing kayach achias. He says all tumah is related in one way or another to death. I don't know how shratzim fits in with this. I did see regarding a yoledes, a woman who gives birth is tameh. A woman who gives birth is tameh, but she's not connected to death. Giving birth is connected to life. So I saw this, this Rav Henkin who just passed away. I think it's his father. Yehuda Henkin wrote a series of Sorim B'nai Bonim. So he has a piece on this Kuzari. And he writes that, a woman who gives birth just spent 9 months being a shutta for a Kaddish Baruch Hu, a Maisa Bereishis. And not only that, she was carrying two lives in one body. Now she's only carrying one life. And she's no longer a shutta for the Hashem. So that diminishing of chiyus also fits into the Kuzari's theme. So this is a beautiful theme. Now Rav Shor adds to that, and I'd love to say this over when it comes to Parshas Metzora. There's a halacha if you have a fruit that's tamei. You have a tamei orange. It's tamei. No way, you can't put it in a mikveh. Oranges don't become tar. You're allowed to eat it. Tamei people can eat tamei food. But it's tamei. You take the seed out of the orange, and you plant it into the ground, and a tree grows from it. Yeah. That tree is tar. Now why is the tree tar? It's from the seed, from a tamei seed. And the answer is that chiyus is the biggest matar. That chiyus, life, is the biggest matar. The idea that it can grow into a tree is matar. Similarly, I would connect to that, maybe Rav Shor does. I think Rav Shor does, I'm sorry. This is, in his piece of Parshas Para. He says, similarly, the Gemara says, in Masechtas Nida, appropriately enough, that when, I think it was Rav Chananya, went to Alexandria Shul Mitzrayim, they asked him questions. You know, the rabbi came from out of town, so they had a hakel. It must have been Columbus Day or something. And they asked him questions. So they asked him, the Gemara says, three divrei shtus, three silly questions. So the questions were, by tchias ha-mesim, how are the mesim going to become tar? How does the mace become tar? And they asked him Elisha when he was Machaya the child. How did the child become tar? And a third silly question, I don't remember it. But those two. So he says, why are they silly? It sounds like a good, reasonable question to me. You have a dead body and he makes Tchias HaMeisim. How do you become tar? So Rav Shor says, Chiyus is the biggest mitar. Because the side of Tumah is Misa. And therefore coming alive, that's the biggest mitar.
Sounds like that could be connected when it says, Hare Anochi Meis. Rashi says, you can't have children. Someone who can't have children is like someone who's dead. Maybe because you can't give chiyus.
Can't give chiyus. It says Mitzora is also
Rashi Kameis. The mikveh is okay.
The chiddush says that going into the mikveh is back to the womb. It was like going back to
Rachel. Said that
right,
amazing.
Rachel said.
So because there's no chiyus, you can't be a Jew.
There's no chiyus. Okay, good.
It's
okay. That's good. So so I connected to this, Rav Moshe's Truva, about someone who had a severed, a finger was severed, and they want to reattach it. So the Shiloh was, he's a Kayan. And a dead Aver is Metama Kayan. Is he allowed to touch his own finger? So how are they allowed to reattach it? So Rav Moshe has a technical answer that things are only metame on if you touch the outside, not the inside. Base of star of a star. When they reattach the finger, wherever it's touching, it's a base of star. What happens after they reattach the finger? How does someone say Shalom Aleichem to him? You're shaking his hand, you're touching a dead finger.
No,
the Teretz says it comes alive. And coming alive is the biggest chiyus. Even though this is Derech HaMachshava, but this halacha that if you plant the seed, it becomes tar, is a halachic source for this idea. So, it's just a beautiful theme, an idea of Dinei Tumah, that it's connected to Misa, and Tyra is connected to chiyus. I don't know a clear basis for the idea that a Torah person that goes to the mikveh has a Taisefes Kedusha. So you know, Chassidim, they go to the mikveh quite often, and even when they're not Tameh. And it's interesting, in the Litvisher world, the Tfilas Ezra was always practiced, but going to the mikveh at Erev Shabbos is brought in Chayyodom, even though we're talking about someone who's not Tameh. It's not Tameh in a Tumah that can be rectified by mikveh. So I'm really not sure what the basis of that is. A mikveh is to be metara tamei. What does it do to Torah Dika people? I don't know. I once asked the Skvera Rebbe, when they say it was when the Sfera Beis Medrash in Lakewood was started, and they started it with Achdasa Sefer Torah, so I asked him, when they say you have to go to the mikveh to write a letter in the Sefer Torah, doesn't mean if you're a Balkari, you have to go, or do you have to go no matter what? So he said he doesn't know. But one thing is for sure, going to the mikveh is Maisiv Kedusha. Rav Moshe Wolfson had a great line. His line was, if a ger can make a mikveh can make a guy into a Jew, it could probably make a Jew into a better Jew also. And that was his line. So I don't know. I don't know the basis for it. I once asked Rav Palm, who avoided the question. I asked him three things. I didn't understand mikveh for someone who's tar. I didn't understand payas, the way people grow payas today. I could at least throw a little payas. Well, what does that have to do with payas? And I'm forgetting at the moment the third thing. I asked him three things that seem to be hidurim that I don't understand the source for. So he discussed it, but he didn't. I don't think he answered the question. I don't remember what the third was. But anyway, what?
Chassidim shabachim, they also go to mikveh.
Yeah.
Every
yeah.
Day?
Yeah. Sure.
I can for understand that. Married men. Why would the shabachim go?
Because it has nothing to do with me about Kari. They go to mikveh for Tosefes Kedusha. That's it. Mishabur in Hilchos Shabbos says to go to mikveh, it means a lukewarm mikveh, says a bal keri to go to mikveh on Shabbos is kedai, but to go for Tosefes Kedusha is not kedai on Shabbos. So he seems to recognize, I don't know if he's recognizing that it is Kedusha, or that people go for Tosefes Kedusha, one or the other. Anyway, getting back here, this is what he says. We're on page 137, towards the bottom, next to the last line. Vefseidai and losing zera kenegat kayach achias v'haruach v'inenu masig behefsed azel l'raiv dakusai ela balei haruchis. Do you feel anything when you're tamei? He says most people can't tell the difference. Ela balei haruchis. Somebody's about Madrega could tell. Hadakais hanefoshes hachashuvais. It's well known that the what's the Rebbe from Russia? He used to be able to tell if you came to him. The Ribnitzer. Yeah. You want to shake his hand, he only shook hands with people who went to the mikveh. If you didn't go to the mikveh, you didn't shake your hand.
What? We have the worst
Tumas Mace. So he also was Tumas Mace. That didn't do anything to him. Well, he's saying that somebody who was a Dakai Saruach, on the Fazer Hashuvis, could feel it. He feels a weakening from it. I'm not on that Madrega. Yeah, he says, I'm Shtadlis the Dabik Belakus. Somebody who connects to godliness or to Ruach HaKodesh of some sort, he can tell the difference. V'oid yesh tam shi yimtzu. There are some people that don't feel good. They feel a heaviness if they haven't gone to the mikveh as a balkari. It's already known. Now, I don't know if this is known today. He's saying is that Tamei people who touch diamonds make it lose its luster. A touch wine causes it to spoil more quickly. So most human beings change when they're exposed to dead people and kvarais. And you go crazy if you're in a house with a dead body. Somebody who's a tough person, a rough person, doesn't change. Somebody who understands the fine essence of spirituality will find that indulging in fancy foods will do him damage. And doing things that are dvarim kalim. So just like there, only certain people can tell, can feel the difference. So to with tuma, you have to be a certain level of bal madrega to be able to tell the difference. And if you're not that bal madrega, then you can't tell. I think I once mentioned to you, one of the Chassidish, I forgot which one, said once that he always thought that three things, that the person who takes care of the mikveh must be a very Taradika person, after always by the mikveh all the time. And the shamish of the Rebbe must be a Talmud Chacham, after all, he always sees Taira. And the people of Isaac and Kivras Mesim must be big Yirei Shemayim. They see death all the time. And he said that in life's experience, it's not that way. The shamish of the Rav and the Rebbe doesn't know anything. And the guy who takes care of the mikveh is not a Torah person at all. And people of Isaac and Mesim tend to be tough people. So at least on that third thing, he's saying it here, that being involved with Mason all the time, it affects, somehow it affects. And we see that today. The people who's, you know, the graveyard people are not the finest people. Chavakadish is something else. They're taking the mace to a mikveh. They're doing chesed. I'm talking the people who work in the graveyards. They don't necessarily, I'm not talking about mitzvahs. I'm talking they don't tend to be the finest of the fine. All right.